You know, from the outset, you've got to be convinced that your Father is good. That every good gift comes from the Father of lights. That is, every single thought toward you, it says in Jeremiah, every single thought toward you is good. If you put that as the foundation of your belief and your trust and your Heavenly Father, everything, single thought towards you is good. That's who we serve. And it's our Heavenly Father that's, He designed us in His likeness and His image. And He designed us to have the freedom, to have the authority. And that's His intent towards our lives. Holy Spirit. Come on, sing it. Good, good Father. It's who you are.
You're a good, good Father.
Come on, church.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am.
We just pray tonight that I thank you for the intent that's in this room. I thank you for the desire that's in this room. As we step towards your truth, as we step towards you, God, we know through your word that you've already stepped towards us. You loved us before we loved you. And for many of us in this room, as we step towards you, God, let barriers drop in our lives and our hearts, God. Let a foundation be reestablished, God, of acceptance before you and an understanding of love, God. Let a foundation be built, Father God, for the rest of our lives and for our generations' lives after us, God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, Jesus' name. And everybody said, beautiful. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Why not? Tell the person next to you, you look incredibly free. You may be seated. Before we jump into anything else, for us this is, it's a fortnightly thing. It's a fortnightly. So if you come here next week, You can come here next week and you'll be here. That's right. But it is like a normal service, thanks. So we are going to have things like a little bit of announcements to keep you up to date with what's going on. And we're going to give you an opportunity to give because there's freedom in giving. Amen. And then we'll move into what we're going to do. And tonight's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to do an intro, and we're going to actually, you're going to meet some of the coaches that we've got set aside for everyone that's here, that's part of the course. And then next fortnight, we kick off. Sound good? So, and people can actually keep registering, and we kind of know that that's going to be the case for at least the first 3 weeks, which actually, if it's fortnightly, that's 6 weeks I was good at mathematics. That's about the limit of my mathematics right there. So I encourage you just to, you know, maybe put on your heart to bring someone with you. Amen? Just think, you know what? You need to come with me. Come and do this with me. Come and do this course. Come and be a part of it. And let's go after people. Amen? So, announcements just very quickly. I'll rattle them off the top of my head. I think we can do this if we can. We have next Sunday, we have water baptism service. So if you're not a part, never been baptized, I encourage you, come and talk to us tonight and we'll get you locked and loaded and ready for water baptism next week. So next Sunday morning is water baptism. We also have this Wednesday night, 7:30, all our creative team, anyone that's involved in creative, or if you want to be a part of the creative team, they're all gathering here for a special night, hear a bit of vision, do a few things that the creative people do. It's going to be an amazing night. So if you're part of that, circle it, be here. It's going to be incredible. That's where you learn how to be incredible like these two. The minstrels. The minstrel twins, that's who they are. They busk out at Rockdale. You'll find them on most corners in Rockdale busking. They make quite a lot amount of money busking. There's a word for you, Marcelo. There's a new job, busking. Marcelo and friends. So, and also, of course, Easter's coming, and we're going to show a quick video. It's around the corner. Here it is. We'll just stay here. It's a black and white silent movie. It's incredible. There it is. Incredible. I could have hummed through it. I could have sung through it. But I didn't want to traumatize you. So that's that. And the last thing is just our giving. If you're new or visiting with us, don't feel obligated. But we want to give people an opportunity to give. I actually believe that honoring God with your finances releases freedom in your finances. Okay? So why would you not challenge people to give to God? Amen? Malachi says it. God says, test me in this. Will I not open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing so that you cannot contain it? True? And he says to test us. So that's what we do with our finances. We give and honor it. So thanks. We're going to pray. God, we just pray for these finances that you, God, would just release your favor, your blessing, open doors of opportunity, Father God, right across our financial areas of our lives. And God, bless us as a church and all that we desire to do, all that we're called to do by you in our community and every aspect of our ministries, God. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Thank you, ushers. Beautiful. Well, give the boys at the back a hand as they take a seat. Incredible. Aren't they good? They are amazing. So we're starting something on a pathway. Our heart and desire is to create a pathway to the freedom in Christ. Amen? And we're after freedom in people's lives. I truly believe the way to measure God moving in your life is the amount of freedom you have in Christ. True? I've actually met people who can quote large passages of the Bible. There are actually people in universities who have studied the Word of God, but yet they don't believe in Christ. Are you with me? So somewhere in that, I believe when you allow the transformation power of Christ to work in you, that's how you can tell whether or not that there is a growth in you and God's power is at work in your life. Amen? And for some of you in this place, including myself, you only know that yourself. Maybe not everyone knows the level of Christ's freedom in your life. Some of it's very evident. When I was first saved many years ago now, one of the, I guess, the first indicators literally was my friends. The group of friends that I hung with before I was saved, they wanted me to continue doing what I used to do. And whenever I turned up to a party after a youth group or something like that, they kept on talking to me about how much I had changed. And after a while, there was like this big chasm between them and myself, simply because as Christ started to work in my life, things started to drop off. Amen? Obvious things like, you know, back in those days I smoked. There were obvious things that I let go of that had a hold over me. But the reality was that something internally just started to change, and it kept on changing. And it came to a place, I remember, almost about a year into my salvation, and I did everything within my power to connect with my old friends. But I made a decision that I just could not actively be with them the way I used to be at all. I couldn't do it. Whenever I turned up, they just said, look, we looked at each other and just said that there's nothing in common anymore. Are you with me? And I think when Christ starts to work in your life, don't get alarmed when your friends change. We all have a heart to see those that we're friends with come to know Christ. But ultimately, don't let that hold you back from growing in God. Amen? And allow yourself to be changed and transformed. So I believe it's what we're out saying. For us as a church, it's a focus that we're going for in your life and in my life. And I think the second part of what we want to do, and I'll tell you what, you really need to grab a hold of a podcast. We'd be recording tonight. I'm sure we are. I'm just making sure that we are. And I'm sure we recorded this morning. But this morning, Mona spoke on discipleship. And if you want a growth in your life, there is actually behind growth is process. True? And sometimes I think people think, well, I just want to grow without any process, without any commitment, without any divine want to, without putting yourself in a position of growth. If you think that's how it works, can I honestly tell you it doesn't work that way? You've actually got to commit to it. When Jesus called the disciples, when he first called his first disciples and he yelled out to Peter, come. Peter was fishing away, doing his thing, and he said, come follow me. Peter didn't go, hey, look, I can give you just a little bit of time, Jesus, creator of the universe, the risen Savior, God and man here on earth, Emmanuel. Look, you know, hey, I appreciate you want to do some stuff with me, but the reality is I don't have much time for you. And that's the way it is. The reality with Peter and all the disciples, they literally left everything. And do I think that there was a process behind what was going on with what was happening with Christ? Absolutely. True? Discipleship is that. It's got that intent. It has to that. So that's why we're asking you to commit to something. Is that all right? And I really mean that. Commit to something. Decide that you're going to put yourself here. Once a fortnight is not a huge ask if you want to see yourself increase and grow. To become a disciple of Christ means that we walk in the freedom and the authority that Christ has won for us. There is a door open to every one of you in this room. There is a freedom in Christ that you can experience, and the door is open, but we've actually got to walk into it to experience it. Amen? And I actually feel like that's what we're doing as a group, including myself. As we walk into this, as we allow ourselves to experience this, and we put ourselves in this process, and we look around and dedicate ourselves, and you know what? A year, 9 weeks or 10 weeks from now, fortnights, we're going to be different. Amen? In the book of Genesis, we are told that we were created in the likeness and the image of God to rule and reign and have dominion. Just making sure that we're recording. Yeah, just check it. In the book of Genesis, created in the likeness and the image of God, rule and reign and have dominion. True? That's the outset. That's how we were. That was the foundation of humankind. That's how God intended it. But very quickly, as humans gave in to an enemy of God who was determined to do the opposite with our lives, to make us captive to sin, not God's promises, and to steal and destroy our potential and eventually destroy our lives. True? So the reality is for us in this place, freedom is about something, going back to something that God gave us. When Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden, there was freedom. Truth? There was authority. They had dominion. They had power. They had everything that God designed for them. And straight away, the enemy is always working against the background to the opposite of what God wants. He is after captivity. He's after oppression. He's after stealing what promises God has for you, trying to close doors on you walking in to and how God wants you to live. That's why our freedom, I believe, is a key purpose of Christ coming to this world. True? Luke 4:18, you've heard this through church, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, quotes, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, is what Christ said. It's what he touched down to do. It's what he released in his life. He came from heaven to reverse what the enemy had already strategized, and that was to keep God's people captive and away from the promises that God had designed them to have. True? So that's why freedom was a large part of God, of Christ's mission here on earth. And it's always been a large part of God's mission. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but just if you haven't heard this, if you actually look through the Bible very quickly, you see so much of God trying to set his people free. Right through the history of the Old Testament, God is constantly working to set his people free. Physically, in the Old Testament, the enemy was always in a physical form. You had Philistines and Malachites and Midianites and Jebusites and Termites. You had everything. You had so many things that were against the children of Israel, which were God's people. And from the very outset, from the time of Moses, when they came into Egypt, they were actually, initially they went there in a place of authority, but then it turned into captivity because that was the enemy's strategy. True? And they were there for 400 years. Now, I don't know how much of that was captive as slaves and how much of it was actually the way that they started, but very quickly the enemy turned it into a place where they were captive and they were oppressed and they were hurt by the enemy's strategies. So from the very outset, you can see as you go through the Bible, you see in Exodus and you see in the next stage of the children of Israel, the judges, God always raised up warrior prophetesses and princesses called Deborah. He grabbed guys called Gideon. If you've been around the church, the Bible, you know who Gideon was. And he raised up men and women to keep constantly setting his people free. And it went on to kings. We heard about Saul, who went after the invaders of Israel and fought back the Philistines. And then you had David, who came along, who actually took back Jerusalem and settled the city of God. And then you had Solomon. It was the height of Israel, where at that stage they were probably, as a children of Israel like us, they were in their most promising place. Are you with me? Solomon got the children of Israel to a place where the whole earth came to see the wisdom and the might and the power of the people of God. And that gives you some idea of where God actually wants to get. He wants us to have dominion. Are you with me? He wants your life to be in a place where people come around you and go, what is this? Why do you have this freedom? Why are you not caught with these thoughts of worry? Why are you not racked with anxiety? Why are you not, you know, you're going through a tough time, but it's not going through you. You're going through it, and you're getting over it, and you're recovering. And you have normal things that happen to you in life, but you're not crushed by them. You're not oppressed by them. You've got liberty on your life. You've got freedom. You're full of faith. Your life keeps going upwards, even though there are challenges. Are you with me? When you had Solomon at his height, the world just came and sat and listened and saw the glory of God and what the children of Israel had established. But the enemy came in. The enemy's always trying to bring captivity. True? And the enemy actually then, after Solomon, split Israel into two nations almost, who actually warred against each other and warred against everyone around them. And there's a whole series through the Old Testament of following the battles of Judah and Israel and how they fought. Are you with me? This is not an old theme. This is not a new theme. This is a theme birthed from the Garden of Eden. And I actually believe it's something. And, you know, I've had some people say to me, oh, you know, this material is a, you know, the material is one thing, but the intent and the focus is another thing. Are you with me? I actually believe in this place, if you go after the freedom of God, if you go after what Christ has won for you, then you're going to release something in your life. Amen? God doesn't keep this stuff secret. It's in His Word. It's in His intent. And I think for us as a church, as a group of people, let's go after it. Let's allow it to open our lives. Jesus was simply echoing what God had been saying through the whole Old Testament. When He came in Luke 4:18-19, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." When He talked about proclaiming liberty to the captives and setting at liberty those who are oppressed, He was echoing the heart and the theme of God for generations. So we need to dedicate ourselves to this. We need to go after the freedom of Christ. Be tenacious. Come on. Be tenacious. You cannot tell me the disciples who changed this world were like that when Jesus met them. I have no idea what they are like, but I can tell by some of the stories through the Gospels that who Jesus picked, they had all sorts of stuff going down in their lives. True? We need to be discipled with Christ's freedom as our intent and focus. You might say, okay, I'm a Christian. Why do I need this? Pastor Andrew, I've been saved for a while. I've been saved for years even. I've been saved for generations. I'm a strong, solid, incredibly knowledgeable man or woman of God. Maybe that's your response. Yeah, the children of Israel, they were set free from Egypt. True? In Exodus chapter 9, verse 1, "Go back to Pharaoh," God said to Moses. The Lord commanded Moses, tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews says, let my people go so they can worship me. That's what God said to Moses. And Moses goes to Pharaoh. We know the story. If you don't know the story of Moses, go watch The Prince of Egypt. It's a cartoon. It'll give you some idea. It'll catch you up, get you ready to where we are. It's a good DVD. There's a few others out there. Exodus is another good one. Or you could read the Bible. That would be good. There's actually a movie called Exodus, true, isn't it? Okay, so we're on the both paths. Thank you, Sheila. Someone remove that woman? No. Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and you have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Back in that day, milk and honey was a really good thing. Now it's like, yeah. So if you want to translate it today, so it would be bling and things. You know what I mean? Milk and honey would be like bling. You know, you've got the goods. You've got the nice house, the car, got the jewelry. You're doing well. Okay, true? In the natural. Milk and honey is probably not such a... Who likes... Yeah, okay. So yes, they were set free. But the interesting thing about the Israelites is when they were set free, all of them, they were taken away from the Egyptians. But then the promised land was the next stage, true? So set free, you could almost say salvation. Amen? But then there was this time, 40 years, the Bible says, where the Israelites went around circles for 40 years. And it says that the generation that were oppressed of the Egyptians, actually, out of that generation, there was three that actually made it into the promised land. Do you know what? That speaks of us as believers. So you might think, oh, you know, well, Pastor Andrew, do I need this? Do I, you know, I'm cranking. I've been a Christian for 20 years. I've got it all down. Well, how's it going? How's it going in your promised land? The promised land for us in this day and age is the promises of God. It's a land. And there are literally hundreds and hundreds of promises in God's word. True? Spiritually. How are you rocking and rolling in the promises? Is it milk and honey? Are you just seeing them in every area of your life? Is every area of your life, are your kids just flourishing? Are you with me? How are the promises going? Because the children of Israel, they didn't actually make it, a lot of them, or the generation that were in there, because they were affected by their past. And their past had affected them in a strong way. They were complaining. It actually says why. It says they said things like, they cried, we are like grasshoppers. This promised land had some giants in it, and they knew it was a promise by God. They're going, but no, we can't do that. We're just small, and the challenges are way too big. We're not able, they cried. This is all in the Word of God. And some of them, they even got to a place where they said, you know what? It's really tough. The promised land, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to captivity. I want to go back to where I was whipped and beaten. And we're talking about believers here. Are you with me? So don't tell me that there's believers in the house of God where the traction of the Word of God and the belief that God wants to move you into the freedom that He has for you is activated all over your life, me included. Are you with me? I'm actually on this journey myself. There are some things that I just want to open in my life and things that I want to open to God. And I want to see some promises and things released over my life as I go after this. Are you with me? Heard a great quote Marianne sent me from someone this week. They said they were free, talking about the children of Israel. They'd left Egypt. They were free, but they were still bound by the thinking and the pathology of their past. Are you with me? If you've come out of a, you might have grown up as a Christian, or you know, or you might have not at all, or maybe you had a background, or maybe you had a life. I can tell you there is a pathology to that. There is things that the enemy has released to bring captivity into your life and is working through. And what we're trying to do is actually work against it. Identify it and focus it and bring Christ's freedom into it. Are you with me? It actually takes that. And that word pathology actually talks about a pathway. It actually means that. And sometimes when you want to walk in freedom, you've got to actually walk in a process. You've got to walk away from Egypt. What happened with the children of Israel is they went around circles. And I've seen this in Christian worlds. I've seen Christians get to a certain level of growth and then they get stuck with some habit or some thinking or something their family said or something their that was in their thinking that would become a pathology that's over their life, and they just start going around circles. And you know, you think, how are you going? Are you growing? Yeah, I think so. I don't know. But it may be negativity. Maybe you've never dealt with it. You never got over it. And it's never been dealt with in your life. And whenever you think you can overcome, you just start thinking negative thoughts because that's how your parents thought and that's how you've been brought up or that's the way you've always thought. Are you hearing me? People go around circles. Don't tell me there aren't people going around circles in church. I've gone around circles. I've spent large chunks of my Christian growth feeling like I've gone around and around until some sort of focus intent came into my life to deal with something. Amen? That's what we're going to go after. Is that all right? And I think so. Everyone in this room needs to do this. How are we going to do it? Where do we start? I think we start with a very simple verse. John chapter 8, verse 3. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? That's God's promise. That's the promise of God. And you can think of all sorts of things and reasons why you've put yourself in this course or what have you. And you can think of all sorts of things that you could do. But the reality is, God is saying to you, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And there's a difference between knowing and believing and receiving and acting on it. Are you with me? Like I said, you can actually have someone who's read the Word of God and studied it at some university and they're not even a Christian. They're analyzing it. Versus knowing and having a conviction and a revelation in your heart that this is God's truth for you and it's time for that truth to set you free. We start with truth. Our freedom comes from truth. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are times, I think, where we present ourselves like you're doing tonight. You've presented yourself. You've said, you know what? I've signed up. I've registered. I'm part of this. God, I'm going to present myself. And is there a sacrifice in that? Absolutely. But if you actually put yourself in that place and if you allow yourself to be in that place, then God's promise is, and do not be conformed to this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the answer to what comes out of truth comes out of you enter into the promises of God, which actually takes you to the will of God for your life. Who wants another will of God for their lives? Amen? Because the will of God is actually that you walk in the promised land. And your promised land is slightly different to mine. Are you with me? Because God knows every one of us. And as we allow ourselves to be transformed, we keep walking towards it and walking in it, the promises of God. I think we must be willing to rethink what we believe if we want to grow. Spiritual renewal takes place when our minds are enlightened by truth. Well, I've heard hundreds of messages in my life, thousands of messages. Thousands upon thousands, I would think now. Okay, maybe 2,000, I don't know. But the reality is, we actually got to ponder on some stuff and put ourselves in a process to bring about some change in our lives. True? And I'm hoping through this that God will identify some areas in your life that you will just tackle. And in this room, I actually believe there's going to be all sorts of different things going on. God will be working with you. As you work with him, he'll work with you. As you decide and present your body as a living sacrifice, the Bible says it's your reasonable service. Wow, cool, it's Sunday night, once a fortnight. I'm not sure about that. God calls that a reasonable sacrifice. Not a full-on one, reasonable. Sound good? A reasonable sacrifice to get freedom and life. Thinking is difficult. Sometimes thinking is complex. Thinking more than anything, it's a process. With a course or a direction, a lapse of time, a series of steps and stages that think towards a result. Amen? And I think we live in this day and age where we get something from here, and we get something from here, we get something from here, we get something from here, and we live in this age of information where we can hear all sorts of different things. What I want to do with this is start you on a process. Is that all right? Where one thing leads to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, as we start to pull things apart in your life and release things that God wants to bring into your life. Amen? You've got to let go of something to receive something. That's how it works. And some things need to deal with quickly. And I can tell you, let me give you an insight. Within about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to start dealing with sexuality. Is that okay? Because you know what? One of the biggest lies and deceits and areas of captivity out there in the world is sexuality. Are you with me? Now, you can leave that for two years to deal with that. But you know what? Through looking at how you need to lead a person and how you need to deal with a person, sometimes you need to deal with the very thing that everyone else is dealing with up front. Is that all right? So we're going to get stuck in. We'll separate the girls, the married from the unmarried, the guys unmarried from married, and we're going to clean up. We're going to get involved. Is that all right? Because if you look out there in the world, it is literally, I think, the feather and the enemy's cap in terms of enslaving and trapping mindsets and people. So why don't we get some good sexual theology from the Word of God about how you're created and how important it is. Is that all right? I've met too many people in ministry, in the church, outside of the church, out there in the world, whose lives are turned upside down through divorce. You've got all sorts of things going on, people's abuse and everything. Lives destroyed around this area. So is that okay? Because we'll get into it. We'll start rattling some cages. Why not? I'm trying to. As a man thinks, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Thinking can be difficult. It needs stages, but as a man thinks, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he, the Word of God says. We've got institutions, we've got societies out there that are trying to affect the way we think. Amen? I think this world out there is trying to make people think simplistically. They're trying to think for you. They're trying to get you to not think too much about what you're doing. The enemy's lie is quite strategic. You know, years ago, I remember it was like, if it feels good, just do it. Ta-doon! Put a Nike swish to it. Yeah, let's pump it out there. But you try and apply that to your life, you apply it to marriage. If it feels good, just do it. Hey, honey, give me a drink now. See how that works. True? So you can just, I feel like slapping Jerry in the face, because it feels really good to me right now. How's that going to work for me? I won't be preaching for about 4 weeks. You'll be visiting me in hospital, be in traction. And that's just from one hit. No demonstration needed. Typically, we've got schools, we've got mass media, we've got all sorts of areas that are trying to affect the way we think, which is ungodly. And I think truth needs to be something that we fight for, something that we live for, because the power is in the truth of the Word of God to allow that to work in our lives. I can tell you the secular world is not advocating the truth of God's Word. They're not, are they? I don't see too many ads on TV going, wow, this is good. I don't see too many TV shows now that are advocating God's truth. True? I don't see too much of anything where God's truth is the pinnacle of what they want. Great, there's some great movies. I watched a movie last night called Left Behind. Who's seen that with Nicolas Cage? The Rapture. Wow. There it is. If you haven't seen that, that's an interesting movie. Everyone gets raptured. Yeah, planes crashing and everything because people disappear. Anyway, so you don't see a lot of out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, though we live in this war, this world, we don't wage war against this world. True? The weapons that we have are divine. Are you with me? They're based around the truth and the Word of God. The greatest weapon you have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the greatest weapon you have against the enemy bombarding you and the world bombarding you and trying to get your mind to think away from the way that God designed and created you. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God through the Word of God, through the revelation of the God that God gives us. The spiritual war that's out there is really a war between truth and error. That's what it is. Are you with me? There is a constant battle. Like I said, the enemy has waged a war to captivate everyone he can for his purposes, to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's out to oppress and make everyone captive. And the truth, God's kingdom, is fighting against that intent, and it's fighting it against in your own lives and your own hearts and everyone around you. Are you with me? And when we actually decide to step on the line of truth and we start to put our lives in there, we wage war against it. And you know, anyone, if you're praying in the spiritual sense, you start using the Word of God. That's the greatest weapon we have when we pray. True? Is using the Word of God. Why? Because that's the first spiritual battle. And when you decide as a believer to allow yourself to become under a process of the truth transforming you and releasing the freedom that Christ has, you're waging war. We are learning how to be free in Christ. We will learn the truth indeed sets us free. The powerful agent of change we have is the Spirit of truth. I think about week 2, we start talking about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the Spirit of truth. Amen? You can't expect to see the truth. What it says of the Holy Spirit is he actually helps you read the Word. He brings it to life. He illuminates it for you. Are you with me? And if we don't understand that, so we're going to get into that very quickly. If you've got some mindsets around that, we'll break them down. We'll get involved in figuring out this stuff together. It says, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we are all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image, the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The Spirit of God wants to transform us and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives that way. So what can we do? We need to reset ourselves. Dedicate ourselves to this process. And for some of us, reestablish ourselves in the foundation of the truth. You might think, okay, I'm learning this. This might be initially some new Christian stuff. But you know what? You need to allow God to allow that to be relayed in your life. Because if there isn't promises and you've seen the freedom of Christ, that maybe there's some reasons why that hasn't got through to you. Amen? If you're a long-term believer, I just pray that you just start to see real growth. Maybe there is hidden blame and then complaining and the attitudes of becoming of being a victim, maybe the deep inside of you from before you were a Christian. We need to know lies from truth. Truth sets us free. Deception is a Satan's primary strategy, so we need the Spirit of truth to reveal God's truth to us. Let me just read out some lies and let me read out some causes that these lies do. We're going to finish on this. Are you with me? These are some of the lies that the enemy will throw at you. And this is some of the causes that it'll pop up in some area of your life. The first one is, I can't do anything right and my best is not good enough. Cause, continual criticism and put downs. Results, instability, indecision, irresponsibility, critical or judgmental spirit. That's just from the enemy sowing that. He might have used a parent, an unsaved person, a teacher, a coach, someone in your life. But the enemy's, he would use working with your personality, and that's what it actually brings about in your life. Lie. I must measure up to a certain standard to be a valuable person. Cause, living under a system of performance-based acceptance, not the grace of God. Everything in the world there is about performance. True? God is about grace. Amen? We're going to talk about that in this course. Cause, living under a system of performance-based results, perfectionism, drivenness, anxiety, insecurity. Lie number three, I'm unlovable and have no worth. I'm unattractive and unwanted. Cause, sexual promiscuity, substance abuse, criminal or deviant behavior. It's going quiet in here. Lie, I'm not important or wanted. Cause, being ignored or rejected. Results, trying hard to please, dropping out, acting out of gain attention, anger, rage, bitterness, depression. Lie, I'm incompetent, inadequate, weak, or untrustworthy. Cause, overprotecting or smothering. Results, perfectionism, fear, feelings of inadequacy. Lie, I'm the... Oh, never done that before. Lie, I'm the negative names, put your names in there, that people are calling me, or I call myself. Cause, name calling. Results, self-hatred, inferiority, and attacking others. Lie, I am better than others. Cause, repeatedly hearing others different from us, being put down. Results, boasting, arrogance, putting others down. Separatism, self-righteousness. You know what? Some of this stuff happens in, believe it or not, Christian homes. Amen? And when you do that, you've got the enemy working behind. And so we want to flush some of this out. Is that okay? And start to deal with some of these areas in our lives and work towards what God wants to do. Freedom of Christ. So what I want to do right now is I just want to grab Everyone that's been asked to be a coach, do you want to come out here? Just stand at the front. If you're part of that meeting the other week, and come on, stand up here and then you face the other way. So just come and stand in front of the pool. Yeah, that's it. Fantastic. And there's a few more that will be in this team. Because you know what? One of the greatest powers to what we're doing is actually we want to make people accountable. And we want to help you actually grow and mature. Is that all right? Because you know what? You can actually come in, you can hear a message like you heard tonight and think, wow, that's great, awesome, well done, go home, and just get back into your world and never do anything about it. But I actually think one of the processes of bringing transformation into your life is actually having someone that's going to encourage you in that process. Now, they're not going to stay for the rest of your life. They're going to stay for the duration of the course, and then there'll be another part to it that you can take up and someone else will look at after. But we're actually going to put people with you that are actually going to, in the night, there'll be a bit of teaching and then there'll be a stop and then someone will work with you a little bit, just asking you questions, getting you moving forward in this area of coaching. Is that all right? And moving you forward in this. So, it's not going to be just an attend, well, walk out, do nothing about it. It's actually going to be something where there's someone encouraging you to keep growing and moving forward. Is that all right? I mean, if you're in the world and you wanted a life coach, you'd be paying thousands for these people. Millions. Well, then, no. Look, we couldn't afford most of these people. They're just too expensive. But the reality is, if you want to grow, you need actually someone to walk with you in that growth. Is that all right? So these guys will probably either pair up or what have you, and they'll work with a group of you, and they'll keep encouraging you and just asking you and moving you forward through this. Is this okay? So I think it's something that we need to dedicate ourselves to for the sake of these guys and for the sake of what God wants to do in your life. It's something that you need to sign up for and just say, look, you know what? I'm going to stick with this and I'm going to see it once a fortnight, see what God does in my life. Amen? So between now and 2 weeks from now, when you come back here, you'll be assigned to one of these incredibly gifted people. And they'll be your coach, and they'll send you a message, and they'll start connecting with you on the night. And we're going to work this thing and move towards what God wants to do. Is that all right? Who's in? Give me a wave. Amen. Okay. Thank you, coaches. You may take a seat. And I know these people, they've got a good depth of God. They love God. And we're just going to see what God does. Close your eyes for a moment. In this place. Look at that, I've got 2 minutes. Last thing I want to do tonight is just to make sure that everyone in this place is established in Christ. And that's the outset, that's the very beginning of anything. We can't release the truth of God if you are not a believer in this place, if you're not someone who accepts Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you accept that He is who He said He is. And if you've accepted that in your life, then His truth has a way of just beginning to bring life to you straight away, because Christ is the Word of God, the Word says. So I'm speaking to everyone in this place. I want everyone just for a moment to be immensely private. Just for a moment, keep your eyes closed. And I want you to ask this question of yourself. Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, that you are saved? Because if you have any doubt whatsoever, I just pray tonight that you would just acknowledge your need of Christ, that you would acknowledge that you need to open your life up to a relationship with Jesus. Every single person on this earth was created to know Christ and to accept Him as their Savior. And that is the beginning of the process. That's the beginning of bringing the transformation that God wants for you in your life. most of us in this room at some stage, at age 21, I remember walking from the back of a church down to the front of a church to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and my journey began. And many of us in this room have got stories and testimonies of how we opened our lives to Jesus and how we've been in love with Him and allowed Him to transform our lives. But if you're in this place, maybe you've made a decision in the past, but if you're honest with yourself, you need to actually rededicate your life afresh today. Or if you've got any doubt whether or not you're a believer in this place, I encourage you tonight, with every eye closed, I encourage you to pray this prayer that we're going to pray in a moment. Everyone in this room will pray this prayer. We're all going to pray it together. And after that, I'm going to keep everyone's eyes closed. And if you want to raise your hand after that, so we can acknowledge who you are, we're not going to embarrass you. We'll just have a chat with you after the service. So come on, everyone in this place. And if you've never prayed this prayer, if you've never accepted Christ, I pray you just say these words, mean them from your heart as we pray them. Let's do it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you tonight as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me to take away the sin and wrongdoing from my life and replace it with your grace and your mercy. I accept tonight that I am a Christian, which means Christ in me. And as it says in your Bible, Lord, in the book of Revelations, that my name tonight is written in the Lamb's book of life. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. And wash me with your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed, just for a moment. Anyone had a rededication or for the very first time prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up. Anyone, just give me a wave. No one's looking. Spirit of God. Okay. Okay. Everyone look this way. Well, that is it. 7:33 on the dot, 3 minutes over. Hey, God bless you. Thank you very, very much for being here tonight. See you in 2 weeks, and we'll continue the journey together in 2 weeks' time. And I encourage you, we can still register people. There were some people that registered that weren't here tonight, so I'm sure just for the next at least 3 sessions, we're going to allow people to join the course. So get out there, talk to some people. Bring some people along with the journey. Amen. God bless you. Have a great, incredible rest of your Sunday night. And we'll see you next Sunday morning. You're all invited. 10 a.m. Sunday morning. God bless you. See you.